Hello and welcome back to St. Bede's Anglican Church in Tucson, Arizona. Today we're recording our sixth roundtable podcast. Today's topic is Anglican authors. My name is Daniel Boyle. I'm a lay reader here at St. Bede's. And joining me today are Father Jim, the rector, and Deacon Nate Blackwell. So, it's a really big topic because there are plenty of authors that were Anglican. But what we're really honing in on today are those that had impact in your life or in your faith. I think immediately everyone thinks of C.S. Lewis as being one of the most notable Anglican authors, at least that I know of. But there are a lot of others. John Jewell, a lot of other historical Anglican authors that wrote things theological, or even in the case of C.S. Lewis, things that weren't overtly theological. So I think I get the ball rolling a little bit. What is your favorite Anglican author? Anybody offered, and why?
Well, I think what's important to actually start off with, and I know this is the easy answer and it's low-lying fruit, but being that we are Anglicans and we do have a strong affinity and following belief in Holy Scripture, you know, if there's anything that's particular to Anglicans, we do have the Liturgy of the Word, where we do have a very high respect and presence of the Word within all of our services. It's read, it's heard, it's the basis by which we preach. So to say, but I recognize to say that, you know, we have a high respect for the Bible, nearly every church would probably say that. But the fact that it has such a basis not only for how we conduct our service by our significant inclusion of it, but then also how it informs our liturgy. I think that you would find that it permeates our service a lot more. Now, from that, then there is certainly how the church through time has interpreted and described Scripture, where it becomes truly more Anglican, where Daniel mentioned John Jewell, certainly Thomas Cranmer being one of the first founders of the church. For the clergy early in the church, many of them were out in rural towns, maybe perhaps not well educated. Perhaps that may be one reason among others why Cranmer is partly, mostly responsible for the Book of Homilies. So that that really has a lot of nuts and bolts, kind of, if you would, a theology of Anglicanism in it. That's been something that I go back to and read quite often as well.
Yeah, how the Book of Common Prayer is organized in it, it's something that I've started to read a little bit about myself, not having a lot of prior experience with it. It's amazing to me how knowledgeable Cranmer and the other early reformers were, not just about the liturgy that was going on in the tradition, but just about the Scripture in general, how they wove it all together, the notes that they put together. It's very impressive.
Yeah.
About you, Father Jim. Initial thoughts. Anglican.
Well, I mean, I kind of want to underscore what Nate was really saying. We are a church that centers itself liturgically in our worship in Holy Scripture. The Book of Common Prayer, which is our worship book, is, I think, I've accurate in saying, two-thirds of it is directly out of the Bible. And so we're really formed by the Scriptures. And those who have become known as Anglican theologians really mostly are dealing with Holy Scripture. And, you know, you mentioned C.S. Lewis, who, you know, always has been my favorite writer. I think in part because, you know, he was a layman. He wasn't. And he was an apologist for the gospel, which means he was a defender of the gospel. And, you know, some of his writings are just delightful in the way he was able, in a fun kind of way, make such profound statements. And, you know, whether, you know, you take the Screwtape Letters or whether you take, you know, my favorite of his books is The Four Loves, which maybe isn't as well known as some of his other writings. Of course, the Narnia works, which aren't strictly, but in his own theological, but in his sneaky kind of way, Aslan. I mean, it's
allegorical,
You know, it is very theological. Yeah. But what a wonderful gift that he could write something that would attract children into the story, and that's really amazing to me. So the creative nature, I guess, of C.S. Lewis's writings, and then you can get into more scholarly, professorial type people. N.T. Wright is an author that I've always enjoyed, but you know, I basically don't spend as much time reading Anglican authors as I do Holy Scripture, just because I think it has a unique way of forming us. And then we've got, you know, Anglicans also, we've got some pretty apostate
Sometimes
Jack Spong
not be a good idea to read.
We've got some that are best left unread. Let's put it that way, because one of the interesting things about Anglicanism, of course, is we consider ourselves, even though we're centered in Scripture, we consider ourselves sort of broad churchmen, and that has some, in my mind, some real dangers. But having the freedom to work through your theological understanding is also a blessing, as long as there's some corrective in Holy Scripture so that you don't go too far afield. And, you know, when I think of Anglicanism, I've 30 years served in the Episcopal Church, and what I see where they have gone, it makes me cry, because they've taken it so far from the Gospels that it's heartbreaking for me. So we have quite a wide array of choices, but I'll stick with C.S. Lewis and T. Wright.
Yeah, I mean, you can't underscore Lewis's ability. I always think of him as kind of like I see him behind a door, just opening the door to a church, and you see this bright light, and you just are compelled to come in, and just the way that he articulates, he continues to draw you in. Most of his books, he's not necessarily just telling you about the gospel, but he's telling you about the story of it and drawing you in and kind of allegorically meeting some of the characters of it. And it you kind of want to get the sense of, I got to find the source of where all this is coming. One other author that I'm particularly fond of is Bishop J.C. Ryle. He was the first bishop of Liverpool in the 1800s, and he has a lot of great commentaries on the Gospels. He also has, he was kind of considered a working man's bishop. He was kind of the blue collar kind of guy. I imagine, and forgive me my history, my awareness of Liverpool and what that kind of city is like, but I have getting the sense that it's very much a working class kind of place, and he could relate to that. So he also did a lot of other stories that talked about, well, books that were geared towards, like he's got one that's called Thoughts for Young Men, that's been a great one. For my son to read. He's got another book called Holiness that, if you want sort of a brief, concise, sort of systematic theology, not necessarily of Anglicanism, but of just his look at Scripture, and that one's a great one as well. Of course, there is, as Jim was alluding to, there is more... kind of seminary kind of level books, but things that are important when you're looking at the 39 articles and how those are interpreted. There's two ones in particular, one by Brown and then another one by Griffith Thomas, that have been very informative to describe the theology behind the 39 articles. But I think as we all have impressed upon, it's so you can be a bookworm and read and read and read and read and read, but if you're not spending your time in the Word, where then you're using the light of Scripture to look and reflect upon what you're reading, we were just talking about the dangers of some of the more modern and perhaps even much further back, but people in the Anglican faith who have tried to reinvent things or reinterpret things, and I imagine you can get drawn by some author's style and not realize that he's drawing you away from the light of Scripture. So that's definitely critical for that to be, you know, the primary thing that you are inwardly digesting.
It seems to me, hearing both of you talk a little bit about your favorite works and authors, and from my experience, that the more popular kind of stands the test of time authors and their works, whether they're Anglican or not, are the people that can articulate the gospel back. I would say that's the reason why that they're popular, and why their work stands the test of time. But C.S. Lewis wasn't really an apologist for the Church of England. That's not really where he was at. I mean, some of the works, maybe John Jewell, obviously had more of an apologetic blend, but it was much more evangelical about spreading the good news about Jesus. And I think that's why it becomes so important and so notable throughout time. People recognize the truth that's found in the Scripture, even when they're not reading it, but it's in these words, speaks to them in a way that's maybe sometimes a little bit easier to understand.
Yeah,
I had an Old Testament professor named Murray Newman, who died not too long ago. Wonderful, wonderful professor, who could combine what Anglicans value, scholarship, I mean, good biblical scholarship, but, excuse me, at the same time, with an undergirded by faithfulness. And that's the best of both worlds, because there are Christian denominations that don't take the scholarship as seriously, and we do. We really want to study and go back to the original languages and try to work through that. But he said something that really helped me and throughout my ministry. It was so simple that, you know, that's probably why it was profound, because it was so simple. And he simply said about Holy Scripture, he said, in order to understand the Bible, you have to stand under the Bible. In other words, you had to humble yourself and let it kind of seep into you. Mm-hmm. And that's not a scholarly kind of process. And he was a great scholar. But what he said was, you know, if you really want to come to know Christ through the scriptures, let them wash you through and through with God's Spirit. And I think that's what we believe about Holy Scripture, that its power is that it's alive. It's not just a book to read to gain facts about people and events. It's really the living Word that speaks to you when you humble yourself before it. And I think that's also an Anglican approach. You know, Anglicans have had, down through the ages, mystics and people who have cloistered themselves into communities, and all of those things have a wonderful opportunity for spiritual growth. They also can be sort of an escape from the world, and Anglicanism doesn't want that. I mean, we are incarnational. We are kind of the ones who allow God to fill us with His presence so that we can then take it and try to help wherever we can within the world. So I've always loved the balance within Anglican theological understanding of allowing God to change us so that we can try to help change others and bring the joy of God's love to the world. And that's something that I think St. Bede's right now is sort of trying to do with our hope for a larger church facility to enable us to help God call people into a saving relationship with Him. And so that's really exciting for me right now. I think hopefully it is for many, many of our members.
Yeah, you were, that advice is, it really is so profound. It's an incredible, awesome mystery that, I mean, Paul says that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And it's a profound thing when you stop and think that God uses words that come out of in the pulpit, that come out of the preacher's mouth and into our ears, and then somehow inwardly this grace that we receive that just produces faith, and that Holy Scripture, that, well, by God, I mean, putting the Spirit of wisdom in us and informing the mind of Christ that Paul says that is within us, that's just an incredible thing that we can certainly claim to have a lot of knowledge when we read this book about the 39 articles or know all about Lewis or all this sort of thing, but that gift from God, His Word that is alive and active, that is available to anyone, that is something that I think, Jim, that you're just trying to scream out, that these are, that this opportunity that we have to get to spread that word, the power of the gospel, the people who have yet to receive it, that's just going to be it's an amazing opportunity and challenge that we have.
You know, I think that it is amazing how, well, I think all of us have spent our professional careers working with people closely, maybe motivating people, trying to get them to maybe take changes in their life that are better for them physically, you know. It's very hard to get people to change. I would say it's virtually impossible unless they're interested in it. But I know, as it's occurred to me, that you can see the miracle that is the Word of God, that by hearing that people, something does happen and they want to change. And the only way to do that is for them to accept it. But there's a great mystery involved, because we tell people things all the time. But it's that hearing, and it's the simple gospel, not a complicated work of literature. Although sometimes that can do the trick too.
Well, and it's so dependent on their own attitude. You know, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will inherit the kingdom. And, you know, helping people know that there's a whole opportunity to live differently. And I mean to live fulfilled and with purpose and meaning and all of those things that, if you were to ask someone on the street, would you like to have more purpose and meaning in your life? They would say, of course I would. Well, are you willing to submit to the one who can provide that for you? And you know, one of the things that I love, too, about in my years as an Episcopal Anglican guy, is I love to sit in a group with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Like, we're going to start Wednesday, the 22nd of this month. Nate's going to, going to be leading us through a study on the parables. And it's a different kind of study than what we've been doing on Sundays, where it's kind of a lecture type thing. This is more of a sharing type thing. And I get so much out of it when I'm with fellow believers who share from their life experiences, and we sit there and wrestle with things, and it's just such a blessing to share meaningful stuff with people. Mm-hmm. So that's I think a gift of Anglicanism that kind of says, there's great wisdom in the corporate group, in the body of Christ. There's great a great spirit that comes out of sharing when it's centered in Christ. And I think we do that well here at St. Bede's. And I've always enjoyed not being the teacher, but being the student. And
it's almost like a family environment here.
It really is.
I've always felt that the people I've met at St. Bede's, I felt like I've already known them all my life. And some of that is common experience, but most of it is the wonderful opportunity you have in having a smaller church, but also sharing in a common worship style, and the lovingness of the people who come here. That's it's a great opportunity.
One more resource, just to tie it back to just the idea of Anglican literature, and this is more of kind of a Q&A pamphlet. On our website, there is a PDF file. It's called Anglican Answers. And in fact, we kind of named this podcast Anglican Answers to reflect that we're just trying to expand on some of the things that material presents. A lot of it is sort of what would you expect in a service? What do you see? Why do we do this? How did the church start? That sort of thing. I hate to encourage people just to go and get, you know, the quick bullet point answers, because there's so much more that is available that can just enrich your knowledge. But it is helpful as kind of a starting point to understand more about the Anglican heritage.
I know we went through a book on the history of the church in England.
Yep, it's that exact. It's by Mormon,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
I've got it at home, and I took a picture of my bookshelf, so it's
I've
there.
I've been reading
Mormon,
it.
And, M-O-O-R-M-A-N, and it's a history of the church in England. There is another one called Our Anglican Heritage by Howe. That one's a much... it's a briefer book, but it's a good one that gives some of the history over the church and its origins, and a little bit into the present age and just the challenges that the Anglican Communion has had in more recent times.
What I like about the book from Mormon is how he ties in the ancient history to really get across the point that the church in England, like many of the other churches that were founded throughout the Mediterranean and European world, were very independent, even though they shared a core belief, which is something that I've never really appreciated. So it's a great book, and it goes into a lot of ancient history too, even before the Reformation.
One other just amazing little bit of history along those lines, Daniel, and that this may be a little bit off topic, but I was listening to a discussion that our Archbishop Robinson is leading about the use of the Common Prayer, and he said that the lectionary that we have, and we've recently been talking about how we preach from the lectionary, that the lectionary that follows the Holy Communion services, that what we have in our prayer book is actually probably about 400 to 500 years old. That has been the same lectionary that's been used for that long. I mean, you're talking about way back to the formations of the very early part of the church around, and even preceding the time of the Reformation. So
yeah, and then I know that when they were assembling the Book of Common Prayer, a lot of those parts of the liturgy go back for hundreds and hundreds of years before then, even to some of them, even to the earliest church, although more in seed form, I guess. So to wrap up, we talked about a number of books. C.S. Lewis, D.T. Wright talked a lot about the Book of Common Prayer, Cranmer, J.C. Ryland.
R-Y-L-E, yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And a number of other authors. And I've felt really encouraged today to learn more and to appreciate just how wonderful heritage we have within the Anglican community, but also that their success is a reflection of their ability to articulate the gospel and bring the readers closer into relationship with him. Deacon Nate, can you close us in prayer today?
Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks first and foremost for the word that you have revealed to us that just gives us the truth of your purpose from eternity past through present age, and that you chose just by your love and grace that your Son would come and become that incarnate flesh to reveal to us just your amazing power and presence and love for us. We give you thanks that through time that there have been people who have recorded not only the history of God's people, of God's covenant people, but have also been inspired by the Holy Spirit to help give us greater wisdom and revelation. And we just give you all praise that each and every day that we can receive from you the instruction that we receive in the Holy Scripture. We give you thanks also for those people and certainly many others that have helped give us further insight and light to that, just whether in the Anglican faith or in others, that they have been drawn to you and compelled to spread that understanding to others. Pray that for each of those people that this may fall upon, that you would give them ears to hear and eyes to see you, and that you would be drawing them to you through your word. And I give you thanks just for this opportunity that we in this small band of fellowship of Christians can share the wonderful experience and love that we have had in this church. Give you thanks and praise for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
And if but just before you turn that off,
that was close.
I would be remiss if we did not mention John Stott, who is a giant in the Anglican and Orthodox. And if you really want to read someone amazing, John Stott's right up there.
Yeah. Yeah, his I think it's Basic Christianity. That's a good one for.
How do you spell it for the uninitiated?
S-T-O-T-T. I think there's two T's on it.
I think you're right.
Okay. Yep. Well, great. Slip that one right under the wire.
Slip it right under the wire.
Well, I hope these podcasts are edifying to you, and that you continue to follow us and check us out on our website and come by and visit. Have a great week.